Wow. Today's one of those days when I wish I could just stand there and keep on worshiping through song with all y'all. I tickled somebody over here pretty good with that one. You like that? Yeah. I love me some grits. I love cornbread. I love bluegrass music. Can I get an amen? Yeah, and I love Ely. I love the cry of a loon, so I guess I'm conflicted on the inside, but I think I'm right at home. You guys make it that way. What a time of worship. Thank you. I think if Miss Carol keeps practicing, she might get that piano thing figured out. I love that song forever when she goes all the way down the keyboard. I love it. I wish it went on forever and ever. I love that one. All right, so I've got your attention. Thank you for that. Do not speak out loud on this one. I'm going to ask a question. Don't answer. Just, I usually want that interaction. Don't embarrass yourselves with this one. Don't answer it out loud. Think about it for a second. Today is not symbolic of the weather we've been having over the last couple of weeks. The calendar shows that summer is here. We've had some extremely hot and humid weather, and so by all rights, the water is warming up, and it is swimsuit season. Yeah, somebody just, kind of with dread in their tone. Don't answer. Don't answer. Have you looked in the mirror? After a long winter, Red Cabin Custard is open for business. Burgers and fries with bacon are delicious. Have you looked in the mirror? Don't answer. It's swimsuit season. Is there anybody in here that would appreciate having a little bit better body? Don't answer out loud. Maybe you don't. Is there anybody in here that wouldn't mind improving their body just a bit? Understanding the water feels wonderful when it's 80 plus degrees here. I think we all can relate and understand, no matter where you're at physically, we would love to have a little bit better body. A better body would be a good thing. In fact, better body is pursued by virtually everyone all across the globe. Almost no one is happy with their body. There's a self-esteem issue called body image, and most of us don't like our bodies. Even the most beautiful supermodel isn't happy with some part of their body. We all want a better body, and consequently, diets and scams and schemes and plans and only eat spinach and only eat eggs. I wish there was one that was only eat ice cream and you'll lose like 10 pounds a week. If you come up with that one, let me know. Lots of plans out there to help us achieve a better body. We want a better body by appearance. We want to look better for our spouses, for just better self-esteem or whatever. We all want a better body by appearance, but even more important is a healthier body, a body that functions better, that is at its peak performance. Yes, looking good will also be a side effect, but bottom line, we should all desire and pursue a healthier body no matter where we're at. It's been fun. I've been talking with Chris Ellerbrook. He's been helping me to try to be a little bit healthier, and he's really good at that and passionate. And you know what? When you eat better and exercise a bit, you feel better. You've got more energy. All of us should desire a better body physically, but health-wise and especially spiritually. All of us should deeply desire to be a better body, the body of Christ, together, healthy, functioning correctly, better by appearance, but oh, what about healthier? a healthier body. Today, we're going to look at the fact that we're together, the body of Christ, and that we can be better no matter where we're at. No matter how good we may be, we can always be healthier, and we can always be better. We're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians today, chapter 12, very familiar passage. We've even talked about it in the past, but I think it's crucial for us, crucial for the church to just own this reality, to really grasp and live out this reality day in, day out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 12. 1 Cor 12:12. That's where we'll be. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth with some direction. The church in Corinth, made up of some Jews, primarily Gentiles, messed up. He had left. They had gotten away from the gospel. They had begun to live very pagan lives. Paul had heard about it. He wrote this letter to remind them who they are in Christ, that they are called to a higher living, that Christ in them makes them different, sanctified, set apart for good works in Christ, and to just correct their misbehavior. And there's some good stuff. In fact, at the conclusion of today's, well, message, near the end of the service, we'll observe the Lord's Supper together. And we're going to do it from the previous chapter, chapter 11 of this first letter to the church in Corinth. So interesting stuff, good stuff. Allow me to pick up reading again in verse 12. We have a slide up here if you don't have a copy with you. The Apostle Paul writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verse 12 he says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with joy in our hearts to gather here in this place to sing your praises, to give our offerings to you, and to share in your word. And Father, I thank you for this message that you have laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you will take your word and this truth and speak it through me this morning boldly and clearly. And Father, I ask that you open up each of our hearts to better understand who you are, what you've created us to be, and how it is then that we can know you and serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church said, amen. So today's message is really about a couple things that you and I need to know, be reminded of, so that together we can be a better body. We can function better as the body of Christ. The first thing is that together we make up the body of Christ. First verse, verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many parts, not all the parts of that body, no, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, every time I go and see a doctor, whether it's a regular doctor, eye doctor, whatever, I love to ask them, if it's my first time getting to meet them, where they're at with creation. Understanding a little bit about the human body, where are you at? And I haven't had one yet that says, "Yeah, I know a lot about the body. I went through medical school, and this is just a perfect example of an accident." what they teach in school, I've never had a doctor be able to just look me in the eye and say that. Generally, they're like, "Yeah, the body's just too complex. It's just way too complicated. Could not be an accident. Time plus chance does not equal this." doesn't equal this body. The body is so complex, it's amazing. Three main parts to our body: head, trunk, and limbs. Three main parts make up our body. 12 different systems: skeletal system, nervous system, circulatory, respiratory, digestive system. 12 different systems function all throughout our bodies, led along by 78 organs. Did you know that? 78? Can you imagine just from ooze and lightning, 78 functioning organs that work together? Teresa just had her gallbladder out, and guess she didn't need that one. 208 bones, 600 muscles. Some have a little bigger ones than others. 9,000 taste buds, 100,000 hairs. Some have a few more than others. And the estimated 100 trillion cells, all that makes up our human body. All these different parts put together, some are more eye-appealing than others, all part of one body functioning together, working correctly. The thing that you and I have to know to be a better body of Christ is that we are the body. Look around for a second. Just glance around. Everybody's doing it, so you don't feel guilty or awkward. Look around. We're the body of Christ. We make up one body. Now, how do you become a part of that body? I say we. Maybe some of you in here aren't yet, and that's okay, because we're going to talk about how you can become part of that body. How do we become part of this body, this special body of Christ, knit together, perfectly put together by God? How do we do that? Well, that's a great question. Verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, into one body, no matter where you come from, north, south, east, west, Jews, Greeks, rich, poor, slave, or free. We're all given one Spirit to drink. We're made one in Christ through the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Jesus is awesome. The cool thing about Jesus is when we are convicted of our sin, give our life over to Him as Lord and Savior, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. We are saved. We're made new creations in Christ. And the amazing thing about our God is He doesn't leave us alone. He then indwells us with His own very presence. Nowhere can we ever escape God. He's omnipresent. Plus, He lives inside genuine believers. And that fact, that reality is worldwide. It breaks every barrier, every language. I've been to other countries where we cannot communicate, but we have a near instant connection because of the Spirit living in them and the Spirit living in me, and together we are just bound with love and joy and service. Especially when you're on the mission field, you feel empowered to just be a mighty warrior for the cross of Christ. The bond between believers is amazing. It's remarkable. That bond of God living inside us makes us together part of the body, the bigger body of Christ. Unity with diversity. It's amazing and remarkable. All walks of life all over the world brought together because of Jesus living inside His church, inside His body. I love the book of Acts, one of my favorite books, the beginning especially. I love Jesus' ascension, Peter's the Pentecost, the filling of the Spirit in the early church, Peter's amazing sermon, thousands of people being saved, the early church starting, sharing, loving each other, breaking bread and praying daily together, all walks of life, all different countries, different languages, rich and poor, coming together through Jesus, made one body. And the outside world saw it, and they were amazed. and people came to Christ, became part of the body every day because of the unity, yet the diversity within that body. How do we become part of the body of Christ? It's when we're saved, when we are born again, when we are made new through the precious blood of Jesus. It's the work of the Spirit inside us. Isn't He awesome? I love this one. As a preacher, as a pastor, I don't get to say this very often, so I love this one. This is one of my favorites. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter at all what you think. Well, look at verse 15 and 16. Some of you are feet. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear, some of you are ears, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. As I said earlier, the body is made up of lots of parts. Our human bodies are made up of tons of parts. The body of Christ is made up of tons of parts. We're all different. We're all unique. We're all special. And sometimes we feel separated from the body. Sometimes the devil works in our lives, works in our heart, works in our mind, and tricks us and fools us into thinking, because I'm a foot, I don't really belong to this body. Because I'm an eye or an ear or a lung or whatever, I don't really belong. The devil tricks us into feeling like we're unimportant, like we're not necessary. The devil also works at the opposite. Sometimes he makes some of us think that we are especially important. In fact, because we are a foot, we're way more valuable than an ear or an eye, and every eye and ear should strive to be a foot just like me. The body couldn't really function without me because I'm a foot. Sometimes the devil works the other way too. He makes us feel way more valuable than we should, and he makes us feel way less valuable than we are. Sometimes we feel separated or isolated, unimportant, not necessary, not a part of the body. Here's the truth. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you think, because you are a part of the body in Christ. You are a foot or an ear or an eye, and you are necessary. It doesn't matter how you feel. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to the Spirit of God, because He has a radically different message for you and I. And that message from God is that you are vital and you are necessary. Verse 17 tells us. Verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? The truth is that you are vital and necessary to be a part of the body, to make the body healthy, and to be a better body. One of the big problems in churches all across the world is when a part of the body thinks because they're different, they're not necessary. They don't need me to work in the nursery. Someone else should do that. God created me to love on babies, but someone else should probably do that because I don't really like the fact that I'm a foot or whatever part, maybe it'd be the hands, that would hold and change the little baby. Sometimes we think that because we aren't a different part, we're not necessary or not vital, or maybe that the body can function fine without me. I'm going to just sit and watch the rest of the body do what it's supposed to do. In fact, I'm going to cheer it on. But the body should never ask me to be a part of this body because I like just watching. You're missing out. You're vital. and necessary for the function of the body. For us to be a better body, we have to know that and understand that. Sometimes we're guilty of being envious of other parts of the body because we think they're more glamorous or more purposeful or whatever. Sometimes we think that we're envious or not as important or whatever, and we get discouraged because we're not like them. You're all good. You're all necessary. You're all vital. We're different. Different parts. But that's good. Imagine a body with 100 feet, and no eyes, and no ears. Doesn't matter what you think. You're important. You're so vital. The deal is you have to do your part. As an eye, a hand, an ear, a foot, do your part and the body is happy and healthy and together we're a better body. The next thing you have to know and understand and grab and grasp is that you are precious in God's sight. You're precious, a part of the body. I know that sometimes we feel unimportant. We don't feel valuable. The devil works in us. He works in me. He makes me think that all kinds of terrible things. And I have a godly wife that loves me, but she loves the Lord more. And she'll tell me, whose voice is that that you're listening to? And I'll say, shut up, I don't care what you think. And then I'll say, thank you, honey, you're right. Why is it more fun to listen to the devil sometimes than the God that created heaven and earth? You're precious. I know the History Channel and National Geographic want you to think that you're an accident, that billions or whatever, trillions of years, and nothing became something that became you. I know that that's what, like, the books in our schools want you to believe. Let me tell you, you are not an accident. You're not an accident. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You may feel unimportant or whatever. You're not a great teacher or a great preacher. You're not good at praying out loud. You can't just pull your pontoon up to a neighbor's dock and lead them to faith in Jesus. That's not you, so you feel unimportant. You think others are more valuable than you. It's not true. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the King of all kings knew you before you were ever born. And He knit you together in your mother's womb through some help of the Father. Happy Father's Day. And He created you special and unique as a part of His body, to be a part of His body, a healthy part, a functioning part. He created you precious. He created you perfect, and He knows you inside and out. And Jesus gladly died for you so that you can spend eternity with Him in glory. You are amazing, and you're very, very important. A vital part of the body, even sinful and messed up, Jesus willingly gave His life to make your relationship right with God the Father. You're not here by accident. So now what do we do with that information? What do we do with the reality that God made us special? He made us to be a certain part of His body. Verse 19 and 20 help us understand. 19 says, and if they were all the same part, if we were all made up of the same part, where would this body be? As it is, there are many parts, but just one body of Christ. So what do we do with the reality of all the stuff we've understood now today from God's Word? The fact that God in His sovereign wisdom has created us, the crowning jewel of His creation, to be His body, his hands and feet, his eyes and ears, his nose here on this earth right now. What do we do with that truth? Because it's one thing to sit here and say amen. It's another to leave these doors and go out there and actually be the body. Diverse, but unified. What do we do? One, give yourself grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Sometimes we can be our harshest critics. Sometimes we can beat ourselves up and we can make ourselves absolutely unfruitful for the kingdom because we listen to the devil way more than we listen to God. Give yourself some grace. Forgive yourself. Remember a few weeks ago, forget failure? The devil wants you to live in the past. Jesus is far more interested in your tomorrow than he is in your yesterday. Give yourself some grace. Second, give others grace. I've seen some church people, thankfully, not really here, but I've seen church people be brutal to other church people. I've seen feet get together with other feet and gossip and criticize hands because those hands are not feet just like them. We should pray for those hands because maybe they'll be a foot like us. I've seen church people be so mean. Give yourself grace, but my goodness, give others grace as well. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Love God first and love others second. If you've received grace, give grace. Cut them some slack. Enjoy diversity. Imagine if we all were exactly the same. It's so much more fun being different and coming together and seeing the joy in our hearts because of Jesus and what he's done. Enjoy the diversity. Love each other. Be unified together in diversity. Work together. Live humbly. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Live humbly. Doesn't matter what you think. Most problems are caused because I want. I don't like. Give grace, love, humble, submissive, live meekly. Meek means strength under power, under control. Sorry, strength under control. Be submissive to the Lord and submissive to each other. Serve each other. And you're going to get a chance to do that here in just a couple of moments. Love the Lord and love each other, serve each other. And you know what? That'll cover pretty much everything. All problems will cease if we love God first, love others second, and just serve each other. Problem solved. The church, we couldn't build a big enough building to house all those that want to be a part of that. Be Jesus to each other. Be Jesus to the world. Be who and what you've been created by the God of the universe to be. In fact, it's outright disobedience and rebellion not to be the part of the body that God has created you and I to be. And together, you and I, we make up a healthy body. Together, you and I, functioning properly, we are a better body. A better body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and how it brings such clarity to our lives and how we can understand all the time who you are and who we are as a part of you, knit together perfectly and precisely. Lord, you have called us to be here at this time to be a part of your body. And Lord, I am anxious and eager to see how it is that you use this body that we call Ledge Rock Community Church in the future to bring glory to your name and souls into your kingdom. Father, forgive us for our sins, our disobedience. Forgive us for listening to the devil sometimes more than you. And Lord, may you convict each one of us today about how it is that we can better function as your part of your body to make us a better body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So,